The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Amazing things are happening in the world of tungsten at the moment. The price has been soaring. There's lots of action on lots of markets. One company that's been very busy is Pure Tungsten, and we're joined now by a couple of senior people at Pure Tungsten. First of all, Jeremy Gray, a board member. Jeremy, very good to see you. Tell us a bit about what's happening at Pure Tungsten.
Thanks, Alistair. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. Well, Pure Tungsten is just about to go in production in South Korea at our mantelpiece asset, Sanjong. And Tiger, our CEO, I wanted to introduce Tiger today on the call because our vision is to become the biggest Western world producer in the next 18 months in the Western world for tungsten concentrate.
That's quite a vision. So, Tiger, tell us how that's going to happen.
Okay, well, we are living in very exciting world, I should say. As you mentioned, the price of tungsten has gone up 4 or 5 times. And we are positioned to get into the commercial production in 3-4 months. I would say our Sanjong mine, the second largest Korean mine, is ready to produce commercially from the month of June. And we've been preparing this for the past 4 or 5 years. And I'm so glad that actually the timing of our production commencement is joined by this, I would say, the tungsten perfect storm. So we are very, very excited. And so, not only this Korean Sanjong mine, if we have a time, I will touch base on our really high-grade, big tungsten mine in Central Asia, which is called Mayhura in Tajikistan. And even this one, we are planning to get into the tailings reprocessing probably toward the end of this year. So yes, we have this two tungsten mines. Both of them are very high grade, way above the global or Chinese average, and they are near production.
And how much production? I mean, I understand that there's these are big projects, but how do they rank in global terms?
Oh yes, that's a good question. I would say the largest tungsten mine in the world as of today is producing about 4,000 to 5,000 tons of tungsten concentrate per annum. And our Sanjong mine is planning to produce about 1,000. And this Tajikistan mine, Mayhura, once we do the proper development in 2-3 years' time, then this mine will be producing 4,000. So adding up, it's going to be 5,000. And we will talk about that later. We have a couple more very good quality tungsten mines. Actually, we are exploring the possibility of joining us. So adding this up, what Jeremy said at the outset, we are planning to be one of the major or leading tungsten producers outside of China. It's going to happen.
It's a very exciting prospect. Do you think it's going to have a big impact on the tungsten market then? I mean, we opened the conversation with a comment about the tungsten price. If you guys show up and start producing such a massive amount of tungsten, do you think that's going to be supported by demand?
As you understand, the peculiar thing about tungsten is demand is growing, and particularly in this sector where I would say it's a very high value added areas like semiconductors, defense, aerospace, all these high value added areas need more and more tungsten every day. And on top of that, actually, we have seen only a few new tungsten mines found in the past 10 years. And another thing about tungsten is it's going to be difficult metal to be replaced with any other material or metals. So I would say yes. I mean, our production, even though we produce, say, 5,000 per annum, that's going to represent less than 5% of the global tungsten consumption. And another thing I want to add on is that these days China has become the net importer of tungsten concentrate. For example, last year they have imported about 20 to 25,000 tons of tungsten concentrate into China, which represent about 20%, which means China has become the big the consumer of tungsten for its smelting companies. So for the Western world tungsten processing companies, the reality is there just isn't enough tungsten around in the market. That's the reality.
And China, you mentioned China there, China hoovering up more and more tungsten. So presumably one of the ways in which you're going to approach the marketing of pure tungsten to investors and to customers is that here's a source outside of the control of China.
Mm-hmm. Well, still China, as of last year, although it's not very official number yet, is believed to have supplied about 82-83% of global tungsten supply. So still, China is dominant the force in the tungsten. And on top of that, the Chinese government has, as you understand, implemented very strict export control on tungsten, because particularly tungsten, its use is, I mean, one of the primary uses is defense. And in this geopolitical sort of situation and conflict between China and the states, obviously, Chinese government really want to have a strict control on tungsten.
So the opportunity is pretty clear then. Let's talk a little bit about Pure Tungsten, the company. How is that set up from a corporate point of view, Tiger? What are your plans for it?
Well, once we start producing tungsten at Sangdun Mine, we are targeting this coming June as the commencement of the commercial production. Then we will be first serving the Korea, because Korea currently relies 100% on China for the tungsten consumption. Not only middle-stream products, but also downstream products. In other words, the chip manufacturers like Samsung, SK, they are relying 100% on Chinese tungsten. So the Korean government has recognized a serious sort of risk involved in the tungsten sector. So they want to have the company like us to produce, and not only producing at our Korean mines, they are actually supporting us to develop overseas mines. That's why we have been in contact, where we have been developing the mine in Tajikistan.
And this isn't your first tungsten rodeo, is it, Tiger? I understand you've got a pretty extensive background in the tungsten mining and production industry. Tell us a little bit about yourself in that context.
Okay. Actually, I used to be a banker working at the investment bank like Morgan Stanley. And I joined the tungsten industry in 2010 as a CEO of Sangdong Mine, which is the mine currently owned by Almonty. And I stayed there almost 10 years. And I left Sangdong in 2020 to develop this Sangdong mine. And it has almost been 5-6 years we've been developing this Sangdong mine. So yes, not originally, but I would say I have over 15-16 years of tungsten experience.
And have you ever seen a market like this?
Oh, never, ever. Obviously, I remember the highest price we experienced was back in 2011, when Chinese government announced to the world that they are not going to export tungsten raw material, the concentrate. Then the price spiked up to, I think, slightly over 400. then came down, stabilized, and obviously the current level of 16, 17, and even 1800 level never experienced before.
It's quite an opaque market, though, isn't it? I mean, if investors are looking at it from the outside, working out how the price is set isn't always easy if you're not on the inside track of the tungsten industry. I mean, how do we know where the price is going to go? How can we tell? What's a way to read the tungsten price?
Okay, as I said, the China, the largest tungsten producer, taking over 80% of the global market, is importing. Actually, China has become a net importer of tungsten concentrate for years. What does that mean? Actually, these days, all these new mines developed outside of China, with only a couple of exceptions, were owned by or controlled by Chinese. So the Western tungsten processing companies, I mean, they cannot sort of get access to the real quantity or volume of tungsten concentrate. That's a big problem. That's the reason why I believe that current spike of tungsten price, unlike other critical minerals, which experienced some sort of the decline after a certain surge, I don't think the tungsten case, it's not going to happen, because it is not the play of a geopolitical thing. It is the play of absolute demand and supply situation. And after 50 years of dominance in tungsten production by China, Chinese tungsten mines are facing sort of deteriorating grade, as well as many tungsten mines are closing down because of environmental issues. And people officially inside China and outside China are telling that Chinese tungsten will be completely depleted by year 2050. Now imagine what's going to happen. 80% of tungsten supplier is not going to have, well, is not going to produce tungsten in 20 years.
A fascinating position for you guys to find yourself in. So, I mean, you talk about the declining quality of the Chinese mines. How good is your mine in Korea then? Let's just talk about grade and, any other numbers that you think you're able to say publicly, for example, margin or other such numbers. I mean, how's the grade, and how does it stack up in that regard in terms of its potential profitability?
Okay, in tungsten space, the average grade of 0.2% is kind of a global average, and these days Chinese average. Now, in case of our mine, Sangjeon, as well as our neighboring mine, Sangdong, the Almontis mine, the average grade is over 0.4%, which is more than twice. And this will be directly related to your bottom line, right? And in terms of the profitability and cost competitiveness, we are twice better positioned than the Chinese. To give you some ideas, in case of our mine, our production cost in tungsten industry, we sort of quote tungsten price on MTU, metric ton unit, which is 10 kilograms per one MTU, 10 kilogram of tungsten concentrate. We produce at, say, the cost of 110 or 120. And now, as you see, tungsten price of the concentrate price of tungsten is sold at around 1400 to 1500. So you can imagine producing at 100 and selling at 1400.
So you guys will be selling concentrate yourselves then?
Yes. Yes, that is the plan.
Right. And so, just to remind us, in midway through the conversation, you're planning to be in production within a matter of months.
Mm-hmm, yes.
At a fairly large scale. And tell us about pure tungsten from a stock market point of view. What have you got plans in that regard? What's the situation, and what's the latest, and where are you heading?
Okay, I'm sure the gentleman will touch base on that in detail, but our plan is once our merger with Pure Tungsten is complete, which will be in several weeks' time, then we will go straight into the RTO. We haven't decided which market, whether it's going to be NASDAQ, AIM, or TSX. We haven't decided. I mean, we will explore all the possibility, and we will ultimately choose the market or exchange which will give us the best valuation. And in terms of timing, Jeremy, correct me if I'm wrong, we are targeting the completion of this RTO, reverse takeover process, by the end of this year.
Yeah, and maybe Alistair, just to add to that, our chairman, Paul Enza, is actually based in the UK, a well-known name in the industry, and Tiger is CEO. So I know Paul's got a preference for a UK London listing, but obviously you've seen the market caps of, I see you have, EQ Resources, for example, is now 1.2 billion. Almonty's 5 billion Canadian. Our pre-money valuation for this round's only 125 million Canadian. And if you look at those numbers that Tiger was talking about, if our cost is, say, $120 per 10 kilos and we get in 1400, the margins are pretty exciting at the moment. And I think it's one really obvious case study for me of why tungsten, I think, will stay strong for quite a while yet. It's if you ever have a chance, Alistair, to come to Korea, when I came and visited Tiger at Sanjong, it just blew me away because this mine shut in July of 1974. And on the last shift, you can still find blasted material from the last shift in July of 74 sitting there neatly piled up, ready for haulage. And it's almost been in a time capsule for what is that, 52 years, waiting for the bull market. And basically, that was the story of tungsten. The whole industry shut down. There was no investment for many, many years. And now Tiger, basically after 5 years of hard work, has got without a doubt the most advanced tungsten mine restart in the industry. He's also got the number one high-grade new mine coming on at Mekahara in Tajikistan. And we have a long shopping list. We're looking at two near development projects we can't talk about right now that will have four producing mines potentially in 2 to 3 years' time. So we've got huge plans for Pure Tungsten. This is a very exciting company. And I'm just so honored to have Tiger as our CEO, who really knows the industry and knows all the players and has a vision to become a multi-billion dollar company.
So, what should investors or potential investors do if they want to get involved?
Just click on the more button and on the landing page below on your video there, Alistair, and leave your name and email and the phone number by if you'd like to. And Ed, Max, Jamila, Eric, and I will give you a shout and connect you with Tiger. Tiger's works a long day, so we can always connect you to talk to Tiger in Seoul in Korea. So we have over as we've had an interview only the other 2 weeks ago on our royalty business in the gold space, and the response to that's been phenomenal. We have over 2,000 private investors in our group, but Pure Tungsten is a huge focus for us now to turn this into a very successful billion-dollar plus business. And the timing could not be better. But often, you know, the harder you work, the luckier you get. And I think Tiger, you know, when we started talking, teaming up together, the price was 420, and as Tiger said, it hit 1800 last Friday. So, we got the timing's brilliant for Sanjong to restart, and the momentum's there to make a very successful commissioning.
So, how did you and Tiger connect then, Jeremy? Or perhaps Tiger wants to answer that.
Well, we connect,
Well,
yeah, through Paul.
go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, we connected through Paul Enza, our chairman. Paul's he rang me and said, "I've got the best restart in the industry. You know, you guys should get together." And yeah, it's been we've been on this journey now for nearly a year. That'd be fair to say, Tiger. And yeah, I mean, it's just been a really exciting to be partners together.
So you're really building up some momentum now, Tiger. You've got the mining career about to come onto production, the RTO that we talked about. The other thing that we haven't really talked about so much is the other mine that you mentioned in Tajikistan. So that's your growth prospect. How does that look? Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, At least before we talk about this Tajikistan Mahura mine, how good it is and all that, probably you have already noticed that the Central Asia has become a battlefield for all the major the countries like China, US, even US had recently cut a deal with Kazakhstan, tungsten mines. And there are certain countries in Central Asia which has a very good potential for tungsten deposits. According to the U.S. Geology Survey, they estimated that ultimately a historic Silk Road, which is basically the Central Asia, will become the Silk Road for rare earth element and rare metals. And that is exactly happening these days. And we were lucky that we've been looking for tungsten mines outside of Korea a few years ago. And we visited, actually, we visited all these Central Asian countries, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, everywhere. But unfortunately, all the good mines, good quality mines, were taken by Chinese or European, or in certain cases, the Japanese. And nowadays, US. But this country, Tajikistan, was relatively late in opening up their economy and opening up their the mining industry. To give you an idea, there are about 800 mines identified by ex-Soviet authorities 50 years ago. Now, only 100 or 120 of them or mines are operating, which gives you the idea that the majority of these mines are still taken by the government. Now, this mine called Mahura used to be one of the three major tungsten mines which supplied tungsten to the Soviet to produce all this the ammunition and all that. So this is very well-known representative mine. We just briefly talked about global average of tungsten mines around 0.2% or less, and Korean mines slightly over 0.4%. In this mine, we have average tungsten grade proven by the Soviet the reports is 0.93%, and wow, we have 2 million sort of confirmed or indicated resource. And on top of that, the Soviet authorities projected that it's going to be up to 10 million tons of very high grade tungsten buried there.
So that's something to get to grips with then. So what's the plan for that in terms of the development timeline and perhaps the capex that's going to be required to get it back up and running?
Okay, talking about the development timeline of this Mahura mine, is that normally this side of mine, it takes time. You need at least 2, 3, 4 years to make it fully operational, which we believe would be the case in Mahura as well. But the great thing about this mine is that there is almost 1 million tons of the tailings sitting right outside. And we have taken samples, tested, and the average grade of these tailings is close to 0.4%, which is amazing. The grade in the tailings is 0.4%, which tells you that how good the mine itself would be. So while we are preparing this full development of hard rock mines, we will start the tailings reprocessing first. And because the tailings are already there, it's all sort of broken and the milled ground there. So it's going to be very easy to process. And we are targeting sometime toward the end of this year as the first production. If late because of winter factor, it could be early part of next year. But I would say processing the tailings will give us equally good volume of tungsten concentrate like our Korean mine.
Yeah, so this time next year, you'll have two revenue streams.
Yes, yeah, that, for
I
sure.
Mean, that's something to be very mindful of, I suppose. And how about the cost of getting the Tajik project back into production? Is it going to be an expensive undertaking?
Oh, well, if you look at all the major mines developed by either Chinese or Western companies, the big mines that normally takes between 200 to 400, in some cases is more than $500 million, the redevelopment cost, including all this infrastructure and everything. But we expect that this mine is relatively well maintained infrastructure, and we believe around 100 million will be good enough to produce up to 4,000 tons of tungsten concentrate per annum. And how are we going to finance it? Well, first of all, we have really plenty of data and drilling data, which will be converted into JORC or NI 43-101 compliant report in several months' time, which we already started the process. And once this report is produced, feasibility study and feasibility report itself, with itself, we can finance it into market, or all these big tungsten consumers, big boys in the Western world, would love to get into the long-term offtake agreement, providing us the big support financially. That's another alternative. On top of that, our company, GBI, was designated by South Korean government as a leadership company for critical mineral supply chain stabilization, which means we have access to very competitive, low interest rate financing for the mine development overseas. So we have the variety of options. Which one we are going to take, we'll see.
Yes, I mean, so presumably you'll also be supported by cash flow from the Korean project at that point as well.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, so that's an amazing growth opportunity you've got there. We have mentioned a couple of other opportunities, but not named them. Are we able to say anything more about the other things that are on your radar?
We're looking at
Well,
two.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Yeah, sorry, Tiger. The word's out that we are becoming a dominant player, so people want to team up with us. They want to vend in their exciting projects that they've had for a number of years, looking for money. So yeah, look, it could add another 2,000 tons just from those two discussions we're having at the moment. But one step at a time. Let's get Sanjong producing really good numbers from June. Also, remember the Mikahara's tailings project. The capital for that restart's going to be much lower than 100 million, so they'll be cash flowing. I would guess, 10 to 15 million, you'll have a very nice operation.
No, yeah, 10 million would be enough for the tailings reprocessing for sure. Yep.
Yeah, so we're all about cash flow. You know that from our gold group. We're all about production. We like to buy existing production or that's very close to production. And the timing couldn't be better for Tiger to do exactly what he's planning to do. We've really got a lot of momentum now to make this a reality, which is really exciting.
Yeah, the momentum seems to be sort of occurring on all sides. You guys have been building it up inside your own company for a number of years now and really reaching a critical mass. And outside, the economic environment looks eminently suitable as well.
It's a nice change, isn't it, Alistair? Because all of your clients, we all know what it's like for all the last 10, 15 years begging for money. And it was tough, yeah. But now suddenly, let's be honest, tungsten is the hottest metal or commodity in the world. There's nothing's come close. Look at our Monty, it's gone from 200 million market cap to 5 billion in a year. EQ Resources has gone up 10 or 12 times. These are serious returns. Guardian Metals, I think there's a number of these explorers that are still long dated. They won't be producing soon, but they're up, 20 times. So, success attracts a lot of capital, and that's why our phone's ringing hot, and why I would love to give you, connect with us and be part of this exciting journey.
So, are you raising money in conjunction with the listing that you guys are planning in a few months?
Well, we're doing a 5 million Canadian raise now that gets us in production, and obviously, if I think that's the obvious thing to do, a much bigger but much higher valuation round going public. Definitely not at 125 million Canadian valuation. So we'll obviously see all the options, but that would be an obvious one to do a final pre-IPO fundraise before listing. So if the market stays as good as we think it will, then that's a very realistic potential.
Yeah, it's a very exciting prospect. I'm certainly looking forward to seeing which market you end up listing on and what the valuation is. And I suppose also looking ahead, what the valuation becomes once you really get up and running and show what you guys can do.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, it's different to gold, right? Gold's pretty hot, but tungsten is just in a different league of its own. There's hundreds of gold stories out there. You know that. Thousands. There's literally a handful of world-class production stories coming to market. Well, actually, it's only just us, I think. So, yeah, there's a real rarity factor to tungsten. The industry's been just starved of capital for 50 years. Wow, I mean, what an amazing combination of potential events coming forward.
Well, it's been great to talk to you guys about all your plans. Once again, for viewers and listeners, click on the More button below and go to the landing page if you're interested in participating in the Pure Tungsten story. And it's a story I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more of over the weeks and months to come. Jeremy and Tiger, appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for inviting us, Alistair.
Thank you, Alistair. Vox Markets, you guys are the best. Really appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.